Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You'll hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
In Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 and 36, it says, "And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages in that area. He was teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news, the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every affliction." Say the word every. Say the word all. There you go. "And when he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep who don't have a shepherd." Now turn to the person next to you as you're being seated and say, "You know, I better listen up this morning." Go ahead, tell them, "I better listen up. I better, not you better listen up. I better listen up this morning." There you go. You can be seated if you'd like. Yeah. I want to talk to you a little bit about the compassion that the Lord has for you, for me, for the people around you, and all of us have gone through hard times. Many of us have battled sickness or disease or some affliction. We've probably all faced something in our history or past. We maybe have faced some things in home life or some event in life where someone has hurt us, maybe significantly, and it has afflicted our soul and changed the way that we live and the way we act and process things and the way we do relationships now. Maybe that's part of your history. Maybe it's a physical ailment or disease. And I want us to look at the compassion of the Lord this morning because we may have an outlook about how compassionate the Lord is or isn't. And we may look at his timing differently than he looks at timing in our life, and what we may do to distort our own view. And so I want us to look at this as we see Jesus going around and teaching in all these places. And I want you to know that Jesus wasn't just about talk. I mean, talk is important, you know, to be able to communicate the good news of the gospel. But Jesus didn't come and just, you know, share the good news and bring good news. He is the Lord of action. He proclaimed the good news, and then it says he healed all their diseases, every affliction. You see, it wasn't just about words. It was also about action and deeds, things that he did for people, things that he's still doing for people, and things that he is wanting to do for you. And so we see Jesus, one of these snapshots again of him going around and providing healing of every and all. You know, I don't know what necessarily all of you deal with. Some you've shared some things, and even those who've shared some things with me, just as your friend and pastor, doesn't mean that I know all the things that, you know, maybe harass you or that afflict you. But whatever it is that afflicts you, whatever it is that bothers you, and I don't mean just physical ailments, but things that might afflict the soul or be hard on your mind or whatever has gone on that has affected you as a person, affects the functioning of your soul. I want you to know that even if you have some rare situation or some rare disease, that even if you were to mention the long medical name for it, people would go, never heard of that, and certainly can't spell it. And, you know, you might think, yeah, doctors really don't know how to help me. So, you know, it's just the way it is. I want you to know that that disease and that affliction, that trouble that you face or have in your body is not some exception from all or every. He healed all and every. what you have or what you deal with in life that harasses you, I want you to know that the Lord is not wringing his hands with great anxiety going, gee, you know, this is really rare. I just don't know what to do. I don't know how to fix this. Whatever you have, whatever you deal with, is no exception to all and every. So now smile and say, gee, that really is good news. Right? See? It's good news! I don't want you to walk around and say, you know, with what I deal with, you know, it's just a little different than everybody else, and therefore there's no answer, and this is just the way it is. That might be the report, and I have an appreciation for statistics. I really do. I have appreciation for statistics. I have an appreciation for all the study and works that go into diagnosing a person and coming up with even a new name for whatever it is we deal with. And I appreciate the uniqueness of each individual's story, but it does not provide an exception from Jesus being able to heal and solve what you and I deal with. It says that he went around and healed every. Some translation says all. Every and all. So whatever it is that you have been told that might be something that, you know, they just don't know how to solve, there's a little bit of guesswork, they try different medications, they don't know what procedure to do, I want you to know that that is not the state of Jesus. And I appreciate their report and their honesty with us and with you, but that cannot throw me into a slump that just says, well, I guess that's it. I'd like us to believe the report of the Lord, that all and every are within his grasp. You see, all authority has been given unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And sickness must bow and flee in his presence. Because he purchased your deliverance, your healing, to give you hope and peace by his work on the cross and in his resurrection. All and every are within his wheelhouse. So, though your report might look a little dark and gloomy and dim from the professionals in our life, and I'm not minimizing what they do, you do, what we do, or the answer that we seek, but I want you to know that there's a resource that is beyond the giftings of this human effort that we have, that he has given us, by the way, as a gift to help us. But there is an answer and a touch that comes from heaven that transcends the limitations of this earth. And I want you to remember that in light of whatever you're facing today or whatever you're going to face down the road. All and every. You know, it says he saw the crowds and he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless. I'm not asking you to raise hands in here about being harassed and, you know, how many are helpless. Listen. All of us get harassed by, well, just life. You know, as I get older here, I start to see how toil has its taxing effects upon me. Even from the littlest things, okay? I mean, little things. These are not significant things, but when things play out, you know, in a practical way, I begin to recognize, you know, the spiritual parallel, which has a greater impact. And so I don't want to make light of harassment, but all the way down to the little things, it's from, you know, I used to be able to just say, you know what, I'm going to take 5 trips and grab all the tools from the garage and walk out to the far end of the yard and get all my stuff set up and just work on this project. And I just do it. Wouldn't think about it, just, hey, let's do it quick. And I mean, you're almost jogging through the yard with all your stuff and make another trip and no big deal. Now, You know what I do now? I hook the wagon up to the back of the four-wheeler. I throw all the stuff in the trailer. And then I pause and I walk around and go, now, do I have everything? Because, gee, I don't want to have to drive back up to the garage. You know? Now, I'm not talking if I just got to take, you know, a rake or a sledgehammer and, you know, walk down the yard. That I can still drag down the yard with me, you know. But now it's, I mean, it's from simple things that are just a harassment as you get older. I mean, our you know, we were made, God has given us a beautiful gift to be sufficient to a point. And at that point, we become helpless or we need help. I mean, he's looking upon the crowd and says, man, they are just being harassed. Of course, they're being harassed by significant things, affliction of the soul, sickness, disease, and they are helpless in the sense that they don't know what the answer is. They've done their best, and now they themselves or someone else cannot help them. They've hit their limitation. And he's looking upon the crowd, and he just says, you know, I have such compassion for them. He recognized it. He preached the good news, and then he backed it up with action and brought deliverance and healing to every and all affliction and disease. I mean, this life, it's like I said, the little things from harassment. You know, there was a day where I climb up the ladder and have a tool or whatever, and you drop the tool, and you kind of make your way down the ladder. I mean, I'd even jump off the third rung, jump down, bend down, scoop it back up, climb up the ladder. Now, when I'm up the ladder and I drop something, oh, jeez. Now I got to climb all the way down there, drop down to one knee, pick up the tool, then I got to climb all the way back up there, and then I realize, oh, gee, well, I was down there. I should have went to the garage and got the other thing I needed, and everything's just a big deal, even though it takes 5 or 10 seconds. So what I do now is I tie string to my tools. No, I'm kidding, yeah, I don't. But it's an idea for my future. I mean, it's just her life. And I'm not complaining about this life. I'm not looking through it like, gee, you know, man, the pastor's really depressed about life. You know, everything's dark and so hard. It's just as I'm getting older, I'm noticing more and more. When you're young, you're vibrant. Yeah, it's a hassle, big deal. It takes 5 seconds, 10 seconds. You do it, you get it done. You run there, you carry this, you jump there. You know, now, man, I got to start parking lawn chairs around my yard so I can take breaks, you know. I'm exaggerating a little bit. And these are just the simple little things in life, but they have such a larger scale parallel into the spirit and into the soul and into the serious things of our life. Jesus looks upon the crowd, and he was moved with compassion as he was speaking the good news about salvation, about the kingdom of God, what the Father's like, how he interacts with people. And as he's speaking to them, he is seeing how they're harassed, how life is difficult, how life is challenging. How they come to their limitations and they don't know what to do next and they don't know how to get the answer. And the professionals in the crowd could only take the people so far and then they were lost. And Jesus is moved with his compassion to the point that he provides action in healing in every and in all. I want you to know he hasn't changed. He's still the same. He looks upon the crowd and he says, they are harassed and they're helpless. They are like people without a shepherd. There's much about shepherding and sheep in the scripture, Old and New Testament, but I'm reminded in Luke chapter 2 where the birth of Jesus is happening and the angels of the Lord appeared to the shepherds who were out in the fields keeping watch over their flock. Keeping watch. Jesus is looking at these people and moved with compassion. They're like people without a shepherd, as if no one is keeping watch over them to lead them, to provide nourishment for their body and for their soul, to provide protection like a good shepherd does. Well, Jesus is that good shepherd. And he's looking upon them and he says, you know what? They need a shepherd. Someone who's going to nurture them and nourish them and lead them and protect them where they can't do it on their own. I mean, there are things that you and I try to do to protect and preserve our bodies. You know, you might take vitamins. You might limit how much pie you eat. It helps. You might, attempt exercise, or you might exercise, or you try to stay away from certain things, and you do certain things, all to kind of, you know, prolong life and feel healthy. But I want you to know that even doing those things, that doesn't guarantee you old age. We come to a point where it's our limitation. And I want us to move to that point where you and I discover, you know, as sufficient as God has made us. And I believe in hard work, and I believe in discipline, and I believe in those things. And I practice some of those things. Some I'm still growing in. I did go for a bike ride the week before last. And it was very short. And I was reminded why I don't ride bikes that don't have a throttle. So, you know, you attempt it, you do it a little, whatever. And we try to do some of these things because, you know, they're better. It's like drinking water, you know. I'm so grateful for water. I like it in tea. Sweet tea. With sugar, you know, sweet. See, you know, we do some of these things, but and I'm not saying give up on them. We should put forth our effort and faith and faithfulness and discipline. I agree with all of that, but none of it guarantees. We still have a limitation. And we have a limitation in our life, and it's at that point where you and I this morning need to recognize, you know, I'm trying to do my part, but it can't be solely dependent upon me. I've got to trust in the Lord. And I have to trust and embrace His compassion towards me. Listen, I don't care how dark your history is. I don't care how dark your morning was this morning or how hard or challenging. I want you to believe in the compassion of the Lord. Listen, I don't care if you have caused yourself, afflicted yourself, your circumstance, because it's the result of some decisions you made. You might say, you know, if I'm going to be real honest, I deserve this life I've got. I've contributed to this being my life. Listen, whether it's something you've done to yourself, or whether it's something that has been done to you, or whether it's just life, I want you to know that there is a compassion of the Lord that transcends every part of that. If His grace was only to those who've been afflicted by outside influence, and they didn't cause damage to their own life, then it's really not grace. It's based on works. And if part of what you face or your brokenness or the entanglement of your life is by some of your own contribution, I want you to know that that does not stop or hinder the compassion of the Lord. He understands that you and I get to a point where we are helpless, where we are harassed, and we are weary, and we are worn out. And our plans and our schemes and all of that amount to very little. And that we can bring on results in our own life of detriment. And that does not withhold the compassion of the Lord. His compassion has an element that it goes beyond being deserved. It is something He just has because He feels for humanity. He feels for you. I want us to look at John chapter 11. And if I could have a key verse for this morning, it would be Gospel of John chapter 11, verse 35. It's the shortest Bible verse in the entire Bible. And it simply says that Jesus wept. In fact, let me encourage you, if you don't have any scriptures memorized right now, just say, Jesus wept. Say it, Jesus wept. You just memorized the Bible verse. See how easy that is? John 11, 35, Jesus wept. That is really the key passage this morning. You see, the setting for this is he had some very close friends, Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. And this girl's brother was very sick. And they got a message, and message reached Jesus. And he's probably about 2 days or so away from where Lazarus is in travel time. And it's that Lazarus is sick and dying. And Jesus does something very interesting. It seems contrary to, you know, what we would think and hope for Jesus and who he is in our human thinking. He gets the news that his friend is very sick and dying, and Jesus stays where he's at with his disciples for 2 more days. So 2 days later, he says to his disciples, let's go. We're going to make our way over to Lazarus, and I am going to awaken him. And the disciples misunderstood and said, listen, it's good for him to sleep. They're thinking like rest, because it might make him well. Jesus is talking about, no, Lazarus is going to be dead. And Jesus says, let's go, and they make the trek, and they get there, and Lazarus, they arrive, and they find out that Lazarus has been dead for about 4 days. As he arrives, there's still mourners and those who are visiting the family. Mary stays inside the house. Martha gets the news that Jesus has arrived, and she comes running out to meet him. And he begins to talk with her and has a wonderful dialogue about him being the resurrection and the life. And does she believe this? They go to take Jesus to the tomb, and he gets there, and he sees other people who are mourning, sad. He's looking at his friends, Martha, Mary, others he knew. And Jesus weeps. It's interesting to me that Jesus weeps when just a couple days before that, he says to his disciples, I am going to go and raise Lazarus from the dead. And yet when Jesus arrives, knowing that he's going to raise Lazarus from the dead, Jesus still weeps. He looked upon his friends. He looks upon humanity. And he was moved with compassion. He's moved with compassion, though he knows that there is this triumphal ending or new beginning in the story of Lazarus' life and those around him. But Jesus weeps. He weeps because he sees those who are hurting. Those who are harassed, those who are helpless to do anything because we can't in our own strength. He sees a lack of faith. He sees their spiritual affliction, their sense of being lost and not knowing what to do or how to solve this or how does this ever have a good ending? And Jesus is so moved with compassion that even though he knows he's going to raise Lazarus from the dead, he weeps. I want you to know that Jesus, the Father in heaven, the Holy Spirit, is no different today. He looks upon your life and he knows that you're harassed. He knows that you're afflicted. He knows that you, at times, are helpless. You experience and bump the boundary of your own strength and limitations. He knows that Some of what goes on in your life you've contributed to in a way of detriment. He knows that you have been attacked spiritually, attacked by people, attacked and harassed just by living life here in this fallen state. Fallen meaning, not fallen from grace, but fallen in the sense that we have sinned and we've been born into sin, and you were born to sinful parents, and you've inherited sin, and you've got some generational things that go on in your body. You got some genetics. Well, spiritually we can too. And Jesus looks upon us with great compassion. It has not changed. The compassion that he has for Lazarus and his family and the other crowds that he spoke to and gave good news to, and he took action to deliver them, to heal them, to give them hope. I want you to know that he is no different today. I said it's interesting when Jesus got the news that he stayed where he was at for 2 days. I'll be honest with you. I don't understand all the timing of the Lord. I don't. I will not pretend to. I'm not going to put on some pious religious thing and say, well, I'm the pastor, and so, I have all of this understanding. I don't understand the timing of the Lord. But I know enough of the Lord that I can trust him even with things that I don't understand. That I'll tell you. To trust him. He's been given all authority. He's the resurrection and the life. He's the great physician. He is the good shepherd. He's the deliverer. He's the Messiah. He's the one that purchased my salvation. He's the one who paid the price on the cross and has been given all authority that, he could pick up his own life, and he conquered sin and death and sickness and hell, and, he lives forever and has made a way for us. Even though I don't understand all the circumstances, this is who he is, and therefore I trust him. It's not just an idea. It's not just a philosophy. It is the actual foundation and the practical outlook and attitude that we must allow him to develop in us, that everything in life that goes on, we perceive from this understanding. This understanding does not change because a circumstance, a situation, a disease, an affliction, an injustice comes our way, and now we go, well, if the Lord would have been here. When we say that, we sound like Mary and Martha. Jesus, if you would have been here, Lazarus would not have died. You'll find it right there in the Gospel of John, chapter 11. And Jesus gets the news, and he still waits 2 days. He continues to do kingdom things where he was at, and then finally decides, I'm going to go awaken him. And when he gets there, he's moved with compassion, he still cries, and he raises Lazarus from the dead. What has happened in your life, maybe, my life, where we say, Lord, if you would have been watchful, if you would have been here, if you would have answered when I first called you, this in my life would not have happened. If you would have been here, Lazarus would not have died. Tell you this, if Jesus would have been there, Lazarus would have never been resurrected. And the crowds wouldn't have gone, wow, we just mocked him a moment ago, and now I have to eat my words. And not only eat my words, what does this mean for me? This is who Jesus is? I had better get on my knees, repent, and follow him because he is the Messiah. I'm going to tell you something that happens to us when we feel like God's timing is off. We might get angry, we might get disappointed, we might feel broken, but we might go, yeah, but your word says, and it doesn't seem to match with your timing or what you're going to do, and throws us into a bit of a tailspin. And all of a sudden, the faith base that we came from, we sacrifice on the altar of taking things now into our own hands. And now that which has happened that we perceive and know as bad or being harassed or helpless, and we feel like God didn't show up on time, now we're left to just kind of do it on our own. And all of a sudden, we intervene into what God's perfect plan and purpose was for whatever happened in our life. We now come in and complicate it, take it into our own will, our own purpose, and we start to deal with it from here out. We begin to change our mind about Scripture. We begin to compromise and disconnect from Him. And as time goes on, we discover how we became so lost, how we've changed our mind, how our expectation of what other people should now tolerate in our life, all because I'm not so sure I believe this, and as a result of what I perceive as disappointment in God and in His timing, I now have complicated and entangled my life. Worse. In your waiting, don't sacrifice that which you have held and know to be true about Him. What about being faithful to Him in moments where you are not sure the way things are playing out as if He's watching, keeping watch over you? Knowing that He's faithful. Instead of, well, you had your opportunity, your timing is off, or you're not listening, or you're not watching, or you don't really care, and now I'm going to deal with all this. And I can, you know, sink in depression. I can, you know, begin to come up with new philosophies and my human thinking of how I can deal with life and do all. And all of a sudden, we are making a big mess by taking this now into our own hands. And yet, as we go further down the road, if we look back and say, see, it's because you didn't show up. And I'm here to tell you, it's not that He didn't show up. It's that you and I stopped trusting Him. And we have made a mess with our life. Jesus is moved with great compassion towards you. He sees that you're harassed. And He sees how helpless you are. Even those of you in this room who say, I am self-sufficient, I've got pride, I can do it, I've always been doing it on my own. Listen, you go ahead and keep that attitude. And I want you to know, if God continues to give you long life, you're going to become real acquainted with your limitations, Mr. Invincible. You're here this morning and you're harassed because you feel like maybe you were a poor parent and the life that your child now lives is a disappointment to you in many ways, though you love them deeply. And you blame yourself, and it harasses you constantly. Maybe something has unfolded in your life and you feel like you've been faithful to the Lord. No, you haven't been perfect, but you've been pretty faithful, and some event happens. You're here and you say, I've been healthy all my life, and all of a sudden now I got this disease. Maybe you're here and you say, you know, I grew up in this kind of home, and that's impacted who I've become. And so I look at things and I don't agree with the Scripture because. And you've come up with your own ideas of how you're going to live and the attitude you're going to have, and you're going to have to now protect yourself because the Lord's not looking out for me. You got relationship problems. You've got all kinds of things that just seem to keep accumulating. All because from our perspective, we feel like God didn't show up when He was supposed to. I don't understand all this timing. I can only speculate in hindsight from the bits and pieces we get from Scripture why Jesus stayed where He was at for 2 more days. It doesn't give us detail. It doesn't tell us that where he was at, he was still dealing with people who were broken or being harassed. It doesn't tell us all that he was doing there, that what would be more important than dropping what he's doing to go see a dying friend and prevent him from dying. We can say things, well, you know, like I did earlier, if Jesus wouldn't have delayed, we would have never seen Lazarus come back to life. And we can chalk that up and say, yeah, that seems to be greater. Didn't see that coming. You maybe come up with other reasons. What I'm suggesting is that we do our part in trusting him as we do our part in acting out faithfulness, whether we understand the timing of things or not. All I know is he has the power and the authority to heal your every and your all, to deliver you from what has harassed you, and to bring you hope and peace and deliverance in your affliction. I know that he will show compassion upon us who have contributed to our own problems, even though we might deserve some of them. That does not stop him from having compassion, because he knows we have limitations. He knows it. And his love and compassion for you is not hindered by that fact. We hinder receiving his compassion and hinder the good news and promises and hinder his action by taking things into our own hands and trying to work our way out of this problem. He sees you. He sees what hurts you this morning. Those of you who maybe have an addiction with something, I want you to know that probably the addiction is not really the problem. It's a symptom of something else that's been broken here, where you need peace, where you need the compassion of the Lord to heal you. And you're going to have to open up and give him access. Jesus asked them to remove the stone so that he could call in to the tomb where Lazarus laid. Jesus could have just walked up and probably pointed at the stone and went like this, like you slide a finger across your phone and things move. Jesus, you know, he could have just, nobody touched it, it just moves. But he said, remove the stone. Are you going to cooperate with what he tells you? Are you going to participate in his direction and move it so that he can speak to the depths of your inmost being and shout out that you can once again come alive and not be lost and not be numb? To get rid of the deadness that our own will has contributed to. He has great compassion on you. Do not kid yourself. Psalm 103, verse 8, it says the Lord is compassionate, slow to anger. Oh, you need to hear that. If your parent or somebody in your life was fast to get angry, I want you to know they are not giving you an image of the Lord God. It says he is slow to anger. It doesn't mean he can't ever become angry. It's just he's slow to get angry. You might be here and say, I've really messed it up. How can the Lord ever, you know, he's probably so mad and miffed at me and gave up on me. Listen, he has great compassion upon you, and he's slow to get angry, and he is abundant in loving kindness and truth. That's what the scripture says. Would you receive his loving kindness to you this morning. Would you roll the stone away and let him speak and shout out to the depths of you that you would be healed, that your affliction would be gone, that peace and deliverance would come close. He is moved this morning in compassion and recognizes harassment and affliction in this crowd's life. And he is the same today as he was yesterday. And he will be for all the tomorrows that there are.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.